And we'll look to the Word of God together. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us. We want to live out the great truths that we've been rejoicing in this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us in that end. It is true that we have come to remember the great act of the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The implications of that, Lord, are very great. May we live them. May we live them in the week and the many months, years that lie ahead. Give us wisdom as we consider it afresh this morning. Help, we pray, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to get you to turn this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We have been remembering the Lord this morning in his appointed way, and we're going to consider again some of the truths that the apostle brings before the Corinthians on the subject of the breaking of bread, the remembrance feast that we've enjoyed. So again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll start reading in verse 23. Paul says, "For I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And this is the foundation of our activity this morning. Our Lord said, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me." We know as we study through the Old Testament, I'm reminded of Psalm 78 and other passages where it's obvious that the children of Israel forgot. And we find it hard to understand, but it is true that we could forget that Jesus died for us. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is without doubt the most significant event in the history of the universe. Absolutely marvelous, as we've been pondering, that the Lord Jesus Christ should go to the cross to die for me, for us, for the world. Absolutely amazing. Could we forget that? Answer, yes. The majority of the people in the world today are not concerned about the greatest event in the world. I think it's Jabe Nicholson who points out that if you read history books, you'll find that most of the greatest events in the world are left out of the history books. They're not left out of the Bible, praise the Lord. The question is, are they going to be left out of your life and my life? And we say, no, Lord. The Lord asked us to remember him. The New Testament saints did remember him, it would appear, on the first day of the week, and that is why we gather on the first day of the week, in obedience to our Lord's simple request, "This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." We're doing it this morning to remind us not only what happened, but to remind us that he is coming back. Surely, if he gave himself on the cross for us in order to embark upon a great program of redemption, surely, having paid that price, he will come again. We get excited about that. We're looking forward to that. We say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We are going to be going to heaven to be with him. We don't want to forget that either. It's in remembrance of him, what he did, what he's going to do. All of this fills our hearts with joy. That's why we're here this morning. But back to verse number 25. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And he has entered into a new covenant with us. It isn't just that he died. It isn't just that he rose again. All of that was foundational to the new covenant. And the new covenant is basically our relationship to him for the entirety of the days that lie before us. We live on the basis of the new covenant. And so we don't just come looking to the past or looking to the future. We come looking in the present and we say, Lord, we want all of those blessings of the new covenant in our daily lives. That is the central theme of this passage. But if you go back, you will find discussion on this subject of the Lord's Supper. And if you carry on, there's discussion. And I want us to look at the discussion around the Lord's Supper this morning in order for us to understand the seriousness, the solemnity, the importance of this meeting that we have been partaking of this morning. So verse 17, Paul says to the Corinthians, now in this that I declare unto you, and that would be what he's going to say, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse, which is amazing. It could be possible for the saints to come together for the remembrance feast, not for the better, but for the worst. Oh, we say this is very serious. And it could be possible for us to be here in a way that would not be proper. The Corinthians took the Lord's Supper and they abused it, and it would have been better for them not to have come together. Wow, we say, that's pretty serious. He goes on, verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be heresies, divisions, schisms among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Apparently, the Lord's plan for the assembly is that the Lord's Supper be an expression of the unity of the assembly that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do people know that we are united in him? Answer, take a look at the Lord's Supper. We're here united in the Lord Jesus because of all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. What provides our unity? Well, there's a multitude of things that don't provide our unity. I think the sociologist might say that there's really no apparent reason why we should be together as a unity, but there is, and that is the Lord Jesus loves us. What brings us together? Well, Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you, and because of that, we are united. It's a marvelous thing, united in the Lord. But you know, it isn't mandatory that there be unity. The expression of the unity, I think, is that we've come to this particular meeting. It is an unscripted meeting. How does it succeed? Well, it succeeds because we are united in bringing praises to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't sit down and compare notes in advance. We don't check things off with the secretary before we take part. We all love the Lord Jesus, and that wonderful unity is expressed in the meeting that thrills our souls each time we come, and one after another, building on the great theme of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful expression of our unity. But it would be possible for us to come together in a disunity. And you get that explained as you go further. Verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Apparently, in Corinth, they had missed the primary focus of the meeting. And instead of coming solely to remember the Lord, they had come with other personal priorities. Verse 21, for in eating everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. They came not to eat the Lord's Supper, they came to eat their own supper. They brought their own food with them. They basically said, we'll do what we're going to do. It's the Lord's Supper, but I'm hungry. And so one man eats too much. They had wine, and many men drank too much. And you sit back and you say, now listen, what is going on? And they had lost the focus of the meeting. And so you and I sit back and we say, Lord, we don't want to lose the focus of this meeting. Would you please help us and cause us to remember to retain the proper focus of the meeting. This meeting is not to give us theology. This meeting is not to teach us. This meeting is not to excite us. As a matter of fact, this meeting is not for us. This meeting is all for the Lord Jesus Christ. How would you know whether it was a good meeting? You know it was a good meeting if, in fact, there was much praise for Jesus. If you were to look Jesus in the eye and he were smiling and saying thank you, we would say, Lord, that was a good meeting. But it's all about Jesus. It's all for the Lord Jesus, and that gives us great joy. That is our perspective. And so we must continue to remind ourselves that of all the meetings in the church, and you know that right now, not being able to get together, we've got lots of Zoom meetings going here, there, and every other direction. It's absolutely wonderful. But this meeting is different from the others. The other meetings are usually for ourselves. The other meetings are for those who don't know the Lord Jesus yet. The other meetings are for us to be able to teach, but this meeting is for Jesus' sake. And it's all for Jesus. And we could be in deep trouble if we were to take this meeting and turn it in a selfward direction. Verse 22 says, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? It's possible. These people, they were eating and drinking for themselves. And in so doing, they were despising the church of God. I've been amazed as I read these passages over and over that there are two great themes here. One is the theme of remembering the Lord, and the other is the theme of the unity amongst the believers. We are to be a unified people. And we've got to make sure that we carry on this meeting in such a way that we don't shame one another. We're not here to shame. We're here to honor one another. This meeting proves our unity. And from this meeting, by the grace of God, we remain a united people into the week and the years that follow. We are to be united for him. verse 27, then again, I'm not even sure where we were. Hang on. Um, Let's go to verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. There is a responsibility then in this, not only for unity, but there is a responsibility to make sure that we are honoring the Lord. It would be possible for us to fail to take full awareness of our responsibility. We could eat the bread and the wine unworthily. So the question is, who should be taking the bread and the wine? If we were at the chapel, when you came in, we would try to speak to you. And if there were strangers amongst us, we would say, it's nice to see you. And if you knew the Lord, we would say, you just come in and join us. But if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, you wouldn't be part of our unity. You're not part of our assembly. And therefore, we would ask you to refrain from taking the bread and the wine. This meeting is for the family of God. It is not for anybody and everybody. As a matter of fact, back to verse 27 again. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And so you ask yourself the question, would I, had I been around in the days of the Lord Jesus, would I have been one who put the Lord to death? And you would say, well, certainly not. I don't want to do that. And the Lord is saying here that if you were to take this bread and the wine unworthily, you would be guilty of putting the Lord to death. Well, you say, this is a very, very serious meaning. It's very possible that you could be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord rather than being happy to receive the blessing of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So when we come, we say each time, we say, Lord, I want to eat this bread and the wine in a worthy manner. If there's sin in my life, Lord, I want to get rid of that. If there's a problem with my brother, I want to set that right. If I've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, then I certainly must not take this bread and wine. And if I haven't lived as I ought to have lived by trusting the Lord as my Savior, if there's problems, I've got to set them right. It's interesting, the line does not say that we are to examine ourselves and not eat. It says we are to examine ourselves and to eat. In other words, the Lord says, examine yourself, set it right, and eat. Don't stay away, but examine yourself, set things right, and eat. We are the Lord's people. We are the unity of the Lord, and we have got to take it seriously to go ahead, not to stop. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The picture here is the Lord's body and the bread and the wine, but there's also the unity of the Spirit of God in the assembly, the Lord's body in the assembly. Both are important aspects. And so we say, Lord, I want to live in right relationship with the Lord, and I must live in right relationship with my brothers and sisters. Verse 30, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And I must confess, when I was younger reading these verses, I said, I'm not sure. That's very, very strong. Would it be possible for me to abuse this wonderful meeting in such a way that God would make me sick? Would it be possible to abuse this meeting in such a way that I might even lose my life. That's what it says. Many are weak and sickly because they abused this meaning. And some even died. They slept. They're Christians. They didn't die and go to hell. They're Christians and they died and went to heaven. But they slept because they did not discern the seriousness of this particular meeting. I'm never sure precisely what to say on these things, but some of you have noted that the COVID-19 issues came up last week, and the government suggested certain guidelines for us as we meet in church congregation. And they said that you can get together if you recognize the maximum number who come, among other things. If you don't sing, you can come. You may have one soloist. You may come under those circumstances. You may come, but you must not speak to one another before you come. You must not speak to one another after you leave. And basically, they've been encroaching, if you like, on the instructions for our meeting together. And we say, now, hang on. COVID-19 is important. We understand that. But the British Columbia government do not tell us how we run our meetings. We must recognize that it is the Lord who runs our meetings. And we follow his instructions, but his instructions are very important, very serious. The Corinthians, some of them, took advantage of this meeting, not respecting the Lord, not respecting their brothers and sisters, and the Lord came down in judgment upon them. Now, verse 31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." That's a an important principle. Who's going to judge you? The answer is, well, the Lord is going to judge us. But in the meantime, we are to judge ourselves. And we would judge ourselves simply by saying, okay, I'm wrong here, going to set it right. Better that I judge myself than that I wait for you to judge me, or that I wait for the Lord to judge me. Again, there's a great seriousness associated with this particular meeting. The instructions as to how you carry on in prayer meeting, how you carry on in a gospel service, they are not like this in Scripture. But here we have the Lord's Supper, a very important meeting, and we are to judge ourselves. Verse 32, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We're to judge ourselves so that the Lord doesn't have to judge us. But we must remember, when we come to the Lord, it is very important. Verse 33 says, "Wherefore, my brethren, when ye are come together to eat, tarry for one another." Apparently what happened was that they came together and they weren't all there at the right time. And so some of them just said, okay, we're going to go ahead and eat. And they didn't wait for others. Others didn't arrive on time. And they were in deep trouble. And so the logic here is, among other things, it's for timeliness at this meeting. And I'm just going to quietly encourage you to be on time for this meeting. I was thinking of supper time in the house. And Mommy says, time for supper, come. And Johnny comes in 10 minutes later and says, where's supper? And Mommy said, but this supper began 10 minutes ago. Where were you? Well, it was very important. I couldn't come. And then Johnny says to Mommy, Mommy, could you pass the salt? And Mommy says, yes, I will in 10 minutes. And you say, now hang on here. Something's, you take that family to the psychologist, I think, and you'd say, now listen, something's not right here. We're a unity. We respect one another. and we respect the Lord. And among other things, we respect timeliness. They didn't respect it in Corinth. But one of the ways in which we show our respect is timeliness. And therefore we say, all right, Lord, I'm going to go your way. Verse 34 says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. And we didn't come for ourselves. There was a man who came in to 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel many years ago. I don't know if anybody else here would remember him, but I did. He just came in late to the meeting, sat down, and when the bread was passed, he just took a great big glob of bread and put it into his mouth. And I went up to him after the meeting and I said, you know, this is a very important meeting. I don't think you understand what you're doing. I said, why did you take all that bread? He says, I was hungry. And I said, well, I'm going to read you some verses from the Bible. And he came in from the outside. He despised the responsibility of the meeting. We say, no, this meeting is very important. On Zoom, we welcome everyone to come. But you wouldn't take the bread and wine if, in fact, you were not living a life of a Christian. If you're not a believer, you certainly wouldn't take the bread and the wine. If you're living a life of sin and not obeying the Lord, you certainly wouldn't take the bread and the wine. You can't say, I'm part of the family, when you don't live like part of the family. Let a man examine himself, and then he will eat. The unity of the assembly is at stake. The name of the Lord, far more important, is at stake. We have a responsibility in this meeting. So back again to 34. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together to judgment or condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. And so Paul, when he came to the Corinth, I'm sure he had many other things to say. So we take all this morning and we say, Lord, this is a wonderful meeting. And as you know, we prepare ahead of time. Spoke to one of you brethren a while ago, and I said, do you prepare for the ministry in the breaking of bread? I said, do you spend some time on Sunday preparing? No, he said, I prepare all week. What a wonderful thing. Eric's reminded us this morning of the burnt offering. And it isn't just a casual thing. The servant of the Lord gets involved in the burnt offering. And he does his part in order that the blessing of God be upon him and upon the Lord and upon his people. And we take this meeting seriously. We love it. We praise the Lord for it. We consider it a credible honor to be here. I mentioned that I'm amazed that I'm on the invitation list. What a great privilege it is to be here, but we must not treat it lightly. This is the Lord's great remembrance feast. We are remembering the most important fact, event that ever took place in the history of the universe. We don't take it casually. If we were invited to the Queen's house to commemorate some great event, we would be very circumspect how we do what we do. We'd say, I'm going to have dinner with the Queen, and we're going to honor such and such and so and so, and we're here in a far more important meeting than that. What a privilege to be here. What a thrill to recognize all he's done for us. What's our responsibility? Just to make sure that we come with due respect to the Lord, to the people. We want to come in a timely, in a worshipful, in a humble. We want to come in a circumspect manner to meet with the Lord this morning. This is our objective. Lord, we want to thank you for ever inviting us to be part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And Lord, it's this meeting above all others that enables us just to bow and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done. We recognize that it's all because of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we might honor you in this meeting and in the way we conduct ourselves in this meeting. Lord, we have been warned that it would be possible to come together for judgment rather than for blessing. We don't want to come in order that you judge us, Lord. We want to come in order that we might bless you. And so we thank you. And we pray that you will just take this seriously, Lord. The world takes most things very casually these days, but we don't want to. We thank you for your goodness to us. We just pray, Lord, that we might take this meeting and make it a meeting of high honor and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. And a meeting, Lord, that would continue to reflect the unity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we honor one another. I guess while we're here, Lord, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact is, Lord, we also thank you for brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for those who came prepared this morning to share the great truths of God with us. We thank you for the brethren who lead our hearts in worship and praise. We praise thee for them as well as for our great Savior that we all praise together. We give thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.